Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our message for the day, the next in our preaching series that we're currently going through, this time not from the pulpit at Harford Baptist Church, but from here in my office. It's good to be able to connect with you in this way. So our reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 43 to 48, as we continue our series on Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. So far in our series, we've explored some of the Beatitudes. We've considered Jesus' teaching on murder, adultery, divorce, an eye for an eye, making oaths, letting our yes be yes and our no be no. Today, we move to consider the nature of love on the front line of life. But before we read together, let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you today and ask that, as always, your word would penetrate our hearts and minds, that we would see the extent of your love for us and the love that you invite us to pour out upon others as we live the life of a disciple. Lord, we ask that our minds would be opened, our hearts would be opened to hear your voice today and apply your word in our time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we turn to our reading from Matthew chapter 5, 43 to 48, entitled Love for Enemies. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Not even pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Well, they're saying it everywhere, but we are living in unprecedented times. There are so many measures in place to support jobs, to boost the NHS, to ensure frontline workers are supported and that their children are cared for in school. The government are supporting businesses, big and small, with their wage bill. Cafes, restaurants, theatres, leisure centres and some shops have closed. The church, of course, is not closed. We are still the church, but we're not meeting together. Interest rates are at their lowest ever, business rates slashed, although some businesses will be struggling and many people are still finding themselves out of work. We're even in a day where the old lines of political division have faded for a while, and the government have had to do things that they'd never have thought possible for them. I wonder, do you remember just a couple of weeks ago when everything was so normal? It's been so heartening to see the government respond to support its people. It's been good too to see stories on the news of people singing together and from their balconies, dancing together on the streets, standing more than 2 metres apart, of course. And churches up and down the country are finding new ways to connect people together and finding a new way to be together. In our text today, Jesus tells us, in some ways, this isn't surprising. The text says in verse 43, where Jesus quotes from Leviticus 19:18 and Deuteronomy 23:6, he says, "Well, you've heard it, it says, love your neighbour." In verse 47, Jesus said, "Even the tax collectors and the pagans know how to love those they love." The reward for that is, well, the reward of giving and receiving love. It's nice, it's good. And you know, as a community, I've just been overwhelmed by the care, love and compassion you've showed to others in the fellowship at this time. We clerks here are into our second week of isolation due to some new persistent coughs, and several of the fellowship have helped us with groceries, have sent messages and have supported us. As a community, we've come together in ways that I've not really seen in these last 3 years with you, in amazing ways. And a huge thanks for that. You're doing great. So many have mentioned how much they've appreciated contact in one way or another. And those who have accessed Facebook and other social media have really felt the benefit as we've been through this very difficult and stressful week together. You see, Jesus is all for us loving the rest of the body, loving those we love. And the New Testament is littered with examples of the extreme love that the communities of churches had for one another. Paul even gets emotional so many times when he reports back to churches about how amazed he is about their faith and their love in Christ. This truly is an authentic hallmark of being the body of Christ, this supernatural love. But in this passage, Jesus invites us to take a step further. It's not just a step further, it's a leap further. He's not even asking people to go a begrudging second mile. No, he's asking more than that, more than most of us can humanly do. And maybe that is the point. He is asking us to engage in enemy love. Enemy love. Why would he do that? Why would Jesus ask us to do such a thing? Well, because that is to do something which would echo the heart and the attitude of the Father. Remember, this whole thing about loving your neighbours and hating your enemies is a new and Old Testament statement. But Jesus is saying, no, but we're going beyond that. We're going further than that. And in order to echo the Father and his kingdom, who pours out his blessing mercifully and without reserve, we are being invited into that same act of love. Look at verse 44 and 45. Jesus says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. To be children of God is to extend the same love as we extend to our loved ones, our dear ones, our fellowship, our neighbours, to those that we would not put in those categories. That is challenging. That is really challenging. But think about it. How many times have we heard this teaching in our lifetime? How many times have we been amazed at it, have been challenged by it? My hope is that in this time we will have the opportunity as Christians, as a church, to extend love like never before, on the apparently deserving and on the apparent undeserving. This is the radical love of the Father. And what an opportunity there is at this time to help, to care, to support, to extend love, especially when these times also bring out the worst in people. You've probably seen it on your screens. Selfishness, greed, and lawlessness. You know, the early Christians made their mark on secular Rome during a severe pandemic in the 3rd and 4th centuries. When everyone was abandoning the sick in towns and fleeing for the hills for their own safety and well-being, the Christians stayed and they cared and they loved and they died. And what was the result from that? Well, see what love these Christians have. And Rome was wooed by the power of the gospel lived out, and the church experienced a new favour with the authorities and with the people, and the kingdom was advanced. To be children of God is to extend the love of the Father without reservation. One of my favourite guys, Thomas Merton, who was a Trappist monk, he said this: our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. That's not our business, and in fact it's nobody's business. What we are asked to do is love. And this love itself will render both ourselves and our neighbours worthy. Friends, this is transforming action that Jesus invites us to take. We are transformed through every transaction of love. Every act of love that we offer to our family, our friends, our neighbours, our fellowship. But even more so, when we are able to extend that love beyond the realms of what seems humanly possible. The reward of knowing that we are doing the will of the one who sends us is to know that we love like him. I suppose I've had one final reflection in these days. You know, as I've been reading this passage this week, in preparation for this short message, one thing that powerfully struck me is that in the middle of this pandemic, when we consider what is at stake, what could be at stake, that whole definition of enemy, or one from whom we are estranged, totally changes. And I wonder if for you there are those in your life, as there are for me, that you've reconnected with again, out of that unspoken sense that perhaps life is just too short to hold grudges, not to heal rifts, or to let things go on for too long. Maybe loving enemies isn't even about trying to identify enemies out there, or trying to drag up some enemies so that we can experience the blessing of this supernatural love that we're able to send to others. But maybe it's about allowing the love of Christ to dwell in us in such a way as to make it possible to come close to others again. You see, this is what God has done for us in Christ. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 12 to verse 18. Paul says, "Remember, at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside his flesh, the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Friends, in these days, let's pour out love on all we have known and love our families, our friends, our neighbours. But God's grace allows us, enables us to extend that love to strangers, to those who are estranged from us, to those who are on the opposite side of a wall that we have erected as our relationship has broken down. The supernatural love that Jesus commands isn't just love those that are like you, but it's love beyond and beyond and beyond. Remember the words of Jesus on the cross. "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they are doing. They don't know what they are doing." Paul reminds us that as we come to recognize the love of the Father for ourselves, the love of Christ for ourselves, we recognize that just as we can be restored to relationship with God, so can the one that we consider our enemy. Our destiny is to be together. In this season, let's hear the words of Jesus to love without discrimination, with a whole heart. Only then can we realize what Jesus says in the last verse of our reading for today. Verse 48 of Matthew chapter 5 says this, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's a challenge, something to strive towards. But it's a comfort too, because it is God doing his work in us, forming us into the life of Christ, patterned after his love for us. Let's take a few moments together to pray. Let us pray. And so, Heavenly Father, I invite you to bring to my mind those relationships which have broken down, when I haven't loved as I should have loved, when I've spoken harshly, when I haven't thought of others better than myself, when I've considered some enemies. And Lord, I ask that in these days, when the value of life and community and family seems all the more important, help me, Lord, to receive your supernatural love that helps me to love beyond what is humanly possible, that helps me go on beyond the bare basics of human life and to love supernaturally. Lord, would you place in my life that ability to have mercy, to have compassion, to have grace, to extend love. Lord Jesus, you've done it for me. I can stand in your presence simply because you choose to pour out your mercy upon my life. Lord, in these days, give us your heart, your compassion. Help us to live the radical teaching of Jesus in our day. We pray in his strong name. Amen.